All right, tonight we will open our scriptures to the book of Psalms 116. Psalm number 116. The prominent verse in this particular passage is verse number 15. We use it many times in funerals. We have many different things that we say about precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Psalm 116 gives us a detailed account of the way a Christian lives and what he can expect in his personal walk with the Lord. And of course, as a child of God leaves this world, it is a precious departure and a precious time of reunion with those that have gone on before us. But more than that, more than anything else, it is a wonderful thing to know that we'll meet face to face the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight, let's read Psalm number 116, and we'll make a few comments concerning what we as a child of God, what we can expect in this life, and how that we can face these days ahead. Verse number 1 says, I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me about, and the pains of hell got hold upon me, and I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord, O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God, is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple, and I was brought low, and He helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore, and have spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render to the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord, and I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, truly I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant and the son of Thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of Thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Here we find David saying some things about life and in general. And we'll be looking, breaking these verses down. But as we read that first portion of Scripture there, I love the Lord because. There's a lot of things you could just fill in that, leave that, and just fill that in with a lot of different things. David said here that he loved the Lord because he heard His voice. He heard His supplication. I heard someone preach he loved the Lord because that He hears us and He helps us and He holds us. And so there's a lot of things could be said just on that one particular portion of Scripture. I love the Lord because. What would come to your mind? What would come to our thoughts if we were to take time and maybe write down some things and just meditate upon why do we love the Lord? Well, we always say we love Him because He first loved us. That's pretty common knowledge. But why else do we love the Lord? Those things that He gives to us and those things that are bestowed upon us and even making death a precious time that is spoken of there in verse number 15. And David said here, I'm going to walk before the Lord in the land of the living. This psalm has a number of little phrases that you could speak so much and think so much on. Verse number 8, as I was reading this, I noticed these three things here sort of jumped out. It says, For thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tear, tears at my feet from falling. I love the Lord because He has done all those things for me and those things to me. But I want us to think tonight primarily upon these verses as we look at them and re-look at them in the sense of these thoughts tonight. How that we are, as a Christian, there's a certain lifestyle that we have. There's a certain way that we live. There's a certain thing that comes our way. And probably none of us are immune to any of the sorrowful things, and we certainly look forward to the good things and the praises that comes our way. But in verse number 1, 2, 3, and 4, as he speaks to us here, in verse number 3, David said, "The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow." I believe every Christian, one of the things that we deal with, one of the things that we have to have before us in our personal walk with the Lord is this thing of peril, sorrow, and tragedy that comes our way. Sometimes people sort of have the idea that if you become a Christian, all the hardships are over. If you become a Christian, then everything's okay and everything's easy. No more trials, no more testings. But that's just really when they began. When you step out of the kingdom of darkness and the Lord places us into the kingdom of righteousness and the kingdom of light, then that one we dealt with this morning, Satan, he's our arch enemy. And he comes at us full throttle. He comes at us every way that is possible. And so we find in verse 1 and 2, he praises the Lord because He has heard him. And he says, "I love Him because He's heard my prayer. He's heard my cry. He's heard my supplication. I praise Him because of the good things that come." But there's a perplexity here in verse in verse number 3 of the sorrows of death and of the tragedies of life. David says, "I found trouble and sorrow." Who of us sitting here tonight could not say, "I have found trouble and sorrow"? There's times that we go through the difficulties of just life in general, the problems that come just because we're breathing, because we're living, and the difficulties and the sorrows that come. And I think one of the prime examples of that is found also in the Old Testament by a man by the name of Job. We see his life and his story. I'm sure Job could have written these words and said, "I have found trouble and sorrow." I'm sure Job could say, "I'm perplexed with all these things that have come before me, the sorrows of death and the pains of hell and trouble and sorrows everywhere." I was thinking about Job's life. He had a lot of tests in his life. One of them we don't think too much about, but I believe he had a test of prosperity. Job was the greatest man. He was the richest man of his day, and there's a lot of people that cannot handle that type of prestige or that type of prosperity. And the scripture says he was considered the greatest man in the East. So he had everything at his disposal, and that could have been and probably was a test to his life. But then we see the tragedies that come to Job's life, that come to so many. He had adversity come to him. He lost all of his goods. He lost all of his money. And here he is on top of the world. Now he's on the bottom. He has gone from a man that had everything to a man that has nothing. Even his family has been destroyed. His children are gone. Again and again, the crash came to him and the message came to him. And finally, the messenger came and Job realized and learned that he had lost all his children. He being a father, and a considerate father, an affectionate father, probably that loss was as great as anything that he had suffered. Money doesn't matter too much. Money doesn't matter a whole lot when it comes to the life of our children and our own being. We were talking this morning about the cost of some of the medical procedures that come around, and Brother Hancock was talking about the procedure he had and what it cost, and I looked at him, I said, "But at that time it didn't matter, did it? We will give, we will spend, we will do all that we can do in order to live, in order to get another day." And the bill comes later and we say, "Wow, that's a lot, that's a much." And that's part of life. That's part of the lifestyle of an individual, especially of a Christian. But Job lost not only finances, not only did he lose his flock, but he lost his family. He lost his children. Every one of them suffered that anguish of pain and death. His property is gone. His servants are gone. His wife has told him, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" And the Bible says Job and all those things did not lose his integrity. He still had his character. And the reason was because he knew the Lord would hear his prayer. Job had that adversity come to him. He had that sorrow that David was talking about here that came to him in chapter number 1. Then he had a physical affliction of his own. He was covered with boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He was sitting in the ashes, in the heap of ashes, and everything had gone the wrong direction for Job. Now his friends come along to encourage him. Yes, sure they did. They come to accuse Job. They came and said, "Surely, there's no man that can be right with God, and God would permit all these things come to him." And so they come to Job and they give him a test of their doubt on his life. And he sits and listens to those, and the biggest majority of the book of Job are those men that came to him supposedly to comfort him and to give him strength, and they continually charge Job because of his trouble that came to his life. And yet in all those things, the Bible says that all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He was a believer in the God of heaven, and he knew that the Lord had put him in the place where he was. And of course, the great adversity was going on between God and Satan. And it is the Lord that says to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And so the Lord puts him in that position in order to for him to gain, in order for him to have more in the end than he did in the beginning. But that was a perilous time for Job's life. There's a time that he probably, I don't have to say probably, he would not want to have gone through that again. Who of us would want to lose our children? Who of us would want to lose everything that we had, not over a period of time, but just in a day? And there was a day when Job was sitting and everything was well and good. But as David said, he looked around and he found trouble and sorrow. That is the lifestyle of a child of God. Not everything is good. Not everything is rosy. And we can expect adversity in life. We can expect the devil to come against us. But thank God we can expect the deliverance of the Lord. We can expect that one that would come against us to be defeated. And peril comes because the Lord, he will preserve his own. I read a verse this morning that the scripture might be fulfilled, that the Lord would lose none of his. And thank God you and I tonight, as a child of God, he is going to preserve us and going to help us. In verse number 5 here, in this passage of Psalm 116, David comes along and he says, "Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful." Even when sorrow and troubles are there, David said, "My God is a merciful God." He says that there in verse 5 that he's a gracious God. He does those things to help us even in times of adversity. Gracious is the Lord. God's grace is plentiful for every need. And righteousness assures that he is merciful to you and I. Thank God for mercy. I don't want the justice of God. Now, the justice of the Lord was carried out on Jesus Christ. God placed the sin of the whole world upon his Son, and Jesus died, and he was just to do that. Justice was applied. But you and I tonight, thank God we have mercy. We have the mercy of our Lord that preserves us and helps us. David says here in verse number 6, 7, and 8, he uses the words, he helped me. Look at verse number 6, the Lord preserveth the simple. Thank God for that. I can fall under that category. He preserveth the simple. I was brought low. But notice what David says. He helped me. Trouble, sorrows, peril comes, brings David low, brings Job low. And if it happens to us, it'll bring us low. And we'll get discouraged and we'll have difficulties with our spiritual life. But thank God for David says, but he helped me. Thank God tonight for the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's never leaving us. He's never forsaking us. He's always there present with us. And so therefore, we have the help of God and we are preserved of the Lord. David even uses the word there, preserveth. He maintains. He says in verse 7, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. The Lord hath dealt bountifully. That means abundantly. How many abundant blessings do we have? How many things do we have in our possession that are really a blessing of God? For the most part, the world has nothing, has no idea of all the things that we have as a child of God. As a Christian, they have the Lord. They have the same mercy, but God's given us bounty. God has blessed us with things that other people do not have, and therefore we can have preservation, we can have protection, we can have plenty, and then we can pledge the same thing that David did in verse number 9. He says, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. There are too many people looking forward to walking with the Lord in eternity. Well, we are to walk with the Lord in the land of the living. We are living, others are living around us, and we're to walk before Him. We're to be as a Christian. We're to be a child of God. We're to be that person that can be used of the Lord. And David said, I'm going to walk before the Lord. I'm going to stand for Him. I'm going to live for Him because He, even in peril and even in sorrow, He has preserved my life. Because of His mercy and His grace, I can walk in the land of the living. Tonight, we could be down here at the Barnett Strother, or we could be dead at some other place that takes care of the body. We could be there, but by the grace of God, we would be there. And as long as we're living, we ought to have the breath in our lungs and the step in our feet and the desire in our heart to walk before the Lord, to be a Christian because He has loved us so much. I love the Lord because... Why do we love God? Because He's bountifully blessed us. Why do we love Him? It's because He has planted His love within our heart that we can love back. Without the love of the Lord Jesus Christ within us, we don't even know how to love. All that we have is an expression of affection. But real love comes from God, for God so loved the world that He gave. And thank God tonight He gave us life. He gave us understanding. He gives us plenty. He gives us protection. And I should live and work and serve in the land of the living. Not going to do any good after I die. I can't do anything after I take that last breath. After we go to the cemetery and put the body in the ground, our work is over. Our work is done. But while I'm breathing, while I'm living, while I'm in the land of the living, I ought to be praising the Lord and standing before Him. Even in a time of sorrow, David says, I'm going to walk before Him. Even in the time of peril and being perplexed of all those things that He gives to us in the first part there, David comes up with the understanding that he's going to walk before the Lord. A grateful heart can keep the promises and the pledges and the allegiance and loyalty to our Lord Jesus Christ. Living for Him. There's a song that we used to sing when I was a kid, loyalty to Christ, loyalty to Him. And we certainly should have that loyalty in our heart because He is loyal to us. He'll never be a traitor to us. He's always there. His affection is always toward us. So what can we expect in life? We can expect the perils of life, but thank God we can expect the preservation of Christ, the preservation of the Lord, and the continual working in our life. Number 3 is found in verses 10 through 14. As we read those, David says in verse 10, I believed. David said, I have a belief in my heart. Therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. But he said, I believe. And so the third thing that we have found here in these verses is that we can expect praise from us to God. Praising lips, a praising heart, rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 11, David said, in my haste. How many of us have said things in haste? David come to the conclusion that everybody's a liar. He said, I did that in haste. He recognized the sin in that. And he said, I'm going to render unto the Lord the cup of salvation to mankind, to praise the Lord and to honor Him for everything that He does. There is affliction, but he says, I'll take the cup of salvation and accomplishment. He said, I will pay my vows. I'll do what I said I would do. And so tonight we, as a believer, as a Christian, as a child of God, we certainly have those problems and those difficulties, but thank God we're preserved in the Lord so that we can honor Him and praise Him. Greatly to be praised is our Lord. He has done so much for us. He has blessed us with so many different things. And so we can praise the Lord. What does it mean? The world tonight and the religious world tonight has a different understanding of praise than really what the Scripture gives us of praise. Praise takes on a lot of different avenues. Sometimes you can have a silent praise of your own heart. You can just glorify the Lord and meditate upon the things of God. Then there are times when our praise is abundantly outward, and everybody knows that, everybody sees that. And praising is more than just a loud voice, and praising is more than running around a building. Praising is more than jumping. Praising is more than saying an amen. Praising is an attitude of heart of thankfulness of what the Lord has done, and we rejoice in that we are recipients of His wonderful grace, the wonderful grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Job knew what it was to suffer. Job knew what it was to praise. And as a believer, we will know those same things and we will follow the same direction. So we have the peril, we have the preservation, we have the praise. And then in the latter part tonight in these verses, verse number 15 through 19 where we read, we have a promise. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. I have gone to the funeral home of loved ones. I have stood behind the pulpit preaching a funeral message for those that we had known for years. Some family, some not family. I have gone to the cemetery and we've taken that last trip. That's as far as you can go with an individual when they go to that place of rest for their body. That's all that we can do. But tonight, you and I, when we go there, we don't go there with no hope. We go there with all hope. We understand that it's a precious thing for a believer, for a Christian, to draw that last breath and to be ushered into the very presence of the Lord, the one that has seen them through the perils, the one that has seen them through the destructive times, the one that has preserved their life up until that certain point, the one whom they praised. My family that I have been so blessed to have in my life, so many of them loved the Lord and was able to go to the cemetery. I can go to where my mom and my dad are buried and my grandmother, and I don't stand there and say, I'll never see you again. I stand there and think one of these days we'll be together once again. Precious in the sight of the Lord. There are folks that we know that are maybe facing death. And as a believer, as a Christian, what a wonderful thought it is to be ushered out of this life into the very presence of the Lord. We wonder what it's like. We think about it. We try to read about it, and the Scripture doesn't give us a whole lot of details about this thing of death, other than it's a separation of the body from the soul and spirit. And to be absent from the body, we know as a Christian, is to be present with the Lord. The opposite side of that, to be absent from the body as a unbeliever, is to be in the presence of the wicked. And so we find that we don't know a whole lot about death and dying, but we do know one thing. For the believer, it's a wonderful event. It's a wonderful thing. It's a precious thing to know that your loved ones are there in the very presence of the Lord. I have done funerals for those that were saved, and those are wonderful experiences many times. Times of rejoicing, even sometimes the family rejoices even just because they know where their loved one is. But I've done funerals of those that knew not God, and it's a total different atmosphere. It's totally different when you walk into that place and you try to comfort people, and you have really no words of comfort unless you want to lie to them. And you want to try to give them something in their minds and try to comfort their soul and try to help them not to go the direction that one that has gone without God. And it's a very trying time for a family, especially for those that know God and know they did not know the Lord. But for the child of God tonight, it's precious for us to make that step. I may make it tonight. You may make it tonight. One of these days we'll all make it. We're going the way of all men according to the Scripture. And we're headed to that place called the grave. If the Lord doesn't come, we're going to be put in that cemetery. If the Lord doesn't come as a believer, one of these days, somebody's going to write our obituary. Somebody's going to read it in the paper. Somebody's going to get a phone call and say, "Did you hear so-and-so? They died last night." It can happen gradually and expectedly, or it can happen very unexpected. Yesterday, where Amy lives, there's a two-car accident. And a family, a husband and wife, and their son was in a car. And there was a 11th grade girl in another car. The road was slick and had not treated it, and had a terrible wreck. And the girl was ushered into eternity, 11th grader. We can go very rapidly. We can go very quickly. That's why preparation needs to be made. That's why we need to know that we know that we know we're going to heaven when we die. It's not if we die, it's when we die. And that when may be very shortcoming. And when may not be out there somewhere in the future. It may be very, very quick. And so we have a promise from the Lord. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Those people that have trusted Him, loved Him, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, truly, I am Thy servant. He says in verse 17, I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Why are we thankful? Because one day we're going to heaven. One day we have the promise of the Lord that we're going to be in the very presence. We talk about meeting Moses and talk about meeting Abraham and the Apostle Paul, but I tell you, the main attraction in heaven, as He is now, forever has been, forever shall be, is Jesus Christ. And we're not going to worry about anybody else. We're going to want to see the Lord. We are there because of what He did, not what Abraham did. We are there because of His blood, not Moses' blood. We're there because of what He did for us. And He tells us even when we die, it's precious to Him because there's another one that has come home. Another one has taken their place there around the good graces of the Lord. We have been rescued by the mercy of God. We have redemption. My bonds have been loosed in verse number 16. And then we have thanksgiving. The soul will make one day a return where body and soul will be reunited. And before that can happen, there has to be a change. It'll change immediately when the Lord comes again. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to be with the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be. And in that moment, the twinkling of an eye, These old bodies are going to be changed. Thank God we have a hope, we have a promise, and the lifestyle or the way of a Christian, the preciousness of a child of God is found in these verses tonight in Psalm 116. What can we expect in life as a believer? You better expect trouble because it's going to come. You better expect peril because it is there. But you can also understand that He's going to preserve us. We belong to Him and He takes care of us. We are His. We can learn to praise even in affliction, even in sorrow. And then we have the great promise that one day we shall be with Him. Be with Him. And the preciousness of our Lord's return. If He doesn't return, I'm still going to see Him. Because precious in the sight of the Lord, the death of His saints. If you're a child of God tonight, we have a reunion one of these days, I believe before very long. Life goes by very rapidly, goes by very quickly, and it can be snuffed out immediately. We think and plan and look forward to the future. We have plans. I read somewhere, someone made the statement that so-and-so died and they had plans for that afternoon. Well, every person that has died in the last 24 hours, they had plans, some type of plan for this evening. They had some type of plan for tomorrow and the next day. Have plans for the season in which we live. As it gets closer to the Christmas and the more seasonal it becomes, the more we have plans with family. But that can be changed immediately with the death of the saint of God. I'll tell you what, it'd be better to spend it around the throne of God than it would around a Christmas tree. It'd be much better, much easier, much greater for you and I as a Christian to be in the presence of the Lord. So what can we expect? Those, at least, those four things that we've mentioned tonight. That is the lifestyle that we have as a believer that is before us. Let's stand together tonight.